Good morning. Today is Monday, the 20th of September. Joining us this morning in our little merry-go-round, Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Good morning.
Good morning. I think I created the merry-go-round, so
yeah,
shout out to
at least we didn't
for taking an early turn.
And we didn't get flipped off the horsey, so we're okay.
We're perfect.
Well, don't get carried away, yes. In the animal kingdom, why is the male often prettier than the female?
Well, because he has to be attractive. He wants to procreate, and he has to be attractive to those potential mates out there.
Did you like?
I think in most of the animal kingdom.
You must have got like a B plus in your biology class, huh?
B plus.
Pretty close. Pretty close. Since in the animal kingdom, it's often the female of the species that selects the mate, the male is the one that has to be more attractive. Females tend to prefer males with more striking coloration and features, so males tend to be prettier, especially during the breeding season. While it's necessary for the male to be striking for the above reason, it's also pretty dangerous, since predators are more likely to spot a brightly colored animal than a dull one. Thus, the female's duller color also provides her with protection. See, that was the B plus part.
That was a much more complete answer.
Yes, there we go. Summertime, tourist, school back in session. How the tax is going?
Exciting days in Arcata. Yeah, our sales tax and obviously our bed tax, our hotel tax, have both stayed very steady, if not starting to see some increases here in Arcata. Our hotel tax, actually, hotels have just been full throughout, you know, any time in the pandemic when we did not have really strict shelter-in-place orders in, and we're definitely starting to see the influx of students and starting to see the results of that in our sales tax. So it does, I think it feels good for all the local businesses. We've had a few businesses that have been able to get off the ground. Big Blue Cafe has reopened just within the last 10 days here from the fires that we had almost 2 years ago now. And opening up to Humboldt State students coming back is an exciting time.
Is there any, I don't think it's any big secret that some of the hotels out in Valley West are tired. Is there anything specifically that the city does, could do, considers doing to help kind of bolster those up? Because if somebody's coming south, then they've, you can push it down to Eureka, just as a way to keep them in the community?
Actually, the city is looking at at least one home key grant, which would be doing a conversion of one of the hotels out in that area to long-term sheltering. So that's not an answer to sprucing up, but it would certainly spruce up the one that ultimately is selected for that program. From a downside, from a hotel tax side, it would take that hotel tax out of the system, but it certainly would provide some opportunities for additional revenues for the remaining of the private hotels that are out there, and then hoping to see some reinvestment from that.
So what is a home key grant? I mean, it sounds interesting, but it's not something that's that commonly referenced.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's a new program. This would be the second round out of Governor Newsom's administration, and it funds the conversion of hotels to permanent supportive housing. So we saw a small group of these in Eureka on what we called Home Key 1 grants, and looking at the instructions and the requests for applications just came out this week. And so we'll be applying for funds to do a conversion, at least one conversion here in Arcata this year.
So who qualifies as potential residents in this?
You would have to currently be houseless. So you'd come in through Humboldt County's coordinated entry system, right? So with all of, we have people that do street outreach every day, actually, in
right.
our communities, and that brings people into a coordinated entry system where people needs and conditions and age and medical history and the chronicness of the homelessness, how long they've been on the street, resources, do they have access to a couch at night, or are they on the street 7 nights a week? All of those variables go into that coordinated entry system, and then people come into sheltering through that.
What kind of vetting is there of the individuals, not their background or their circumstances, but of the people themselves? I ask that because I know 10 years ago? I think it was about 10 years ago. Denver had a huge push to try to address their homeless, and instead of housing, they actually transferred the ownership of apartments in a couple of downtown structures to the individuals. And within 6 months, it was trashed out, and they had to start all over again. Is this a monitored situation where people have to qualify and then have certain behaviors that they have to abide by?
It's both that and it's supportive housing. So the big difference between the first round of the governor's home key grants and this round is that this round is actually coming with, if you qualify, if you, you know, receive a grant, it comes with 5 years of operational expenses too. So 5 years of supportive services. So 5 years of mental health clinicians checking on residents that have received housing through this program, and connecting services and starting to work through whether it's an addiction rehabilitation or whether it's the mental health services or whether it's that you just need help getting ID, getting a resume, and starting to look for jobs. You know, so the type of range of services would be available to people that would be coming into these shelterings. So, but yes, they are at this point what we would call more supportive housing environments. So they would be monitored as well.
You've been at the trough too long if that's how you're talking.
Way too long, huh? No, but it's actually earnest. I mean, I think, you know, what you were speaking of is sort of is the flip side. We've had experience opening shelters and bringing in a large number of individuals in a 24 or 48-hour period that have all been living without homes for a long period of time. I mean, that's a real shock to the system, right? And it takes peer mentors, it takes clinicians, it takes individuals working. I mean, we have stories when we opened a site on south of Samoa Street several years ago. There were individuals that didn't, there was one individual that did not unpack his shopping cart for over a year, right? That was everything he had, right? And it took that long to become comfortable and secure in it takes a lot of supportive services to help get these individuals back on their feet and in a place that they can sleep through the night, that they can start to function in a job capacity. So I can see why, you know, the program that you described would have had the potential to fail if it did not have those supportive services.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning, this bright and shiny Monday morning with Karen Diemer. At least it's bright and shiny inside the studios. I'll just kind of leave that there. Karen, this...
Always bright and shiny in Arcata.
Yeah, right. Now, Fortuna has that line. You can't use it. This home key grant that you were talking about before in the last segment, is this a permanent situation, or is it more of a transitional, so if somebody gets their act together? Or, I mean, it sounded not obvious, but I guess sad that folks would be there, trained, get the resume, and then go out and try to get a job. With all of the help wanted signs that are out there, yeah, you'd think that, okay, a shower and a new set of clothes, and then they could go out and be able to at least get the job, stay there as they accumulate whatever they need to be able then to move out on their own, and then room would become then available for another. Is that the perfect model?
Transitional housing, I think, has been shown to at least be the best model. You know, have we come up with the perfect model? I think that, you know, the number of people that we have living outside of homes right now would tell us, no, we haven't come up with the perfect model. But transitional housing coming into congregate sheltering historically, the state's really looking at trying to get away from what we call congregate sheltering, or where there could be, you know, 6, 8, 10 people all in one room. to having some individual space so that, you know, you can have peer mentoring and work happening and having that safe space to go back to on your own. And then, yeah, transitioning into whether it's on your own housing or whether it's transitioning into Section 8 housing, you know, I mean, it could come, you know, these hotel spaces, the conversions are going to be very, very small units. If you have a family that is moving into one of these units, if you're ready to move into an apartment living, you know, moving into transitional housing that way as well, we have houses as well in our, I guess, repertoire or so of sheltering options. You know, we just, Arcata House Partnership just moved a family of seven into a house here in Arcata this week.
It sounds to me like this is a huge amount of money. I mean, if you're converting over a hotel, if you've got operating costs for 5 years, if you've got additional housing outside of this structure, how big is this grant if you land it?
It's a big grant. So depending on the site, depending on the number of rooms, we're looking at, you know, between 100, but more likely close to 200,000 per room for conversion, and then 5 years of operational dollars. So it is going to be a multi-million dollar grant. And again, depending on what site we ultimately land on, it could be anywhere from 20 bedrooms on up to 80 bedrooms, right? So we're just looking at scaling and what do we have support services for and how could we best operate moving forward right now.
So this is like a $10 to $20 million grant.
Mm-hmm.
When all is said and done.
That'll be a really sizable grant.
Now, one of the things that you hear about, and I presume that it's actual, but you know, you never know when it's all scuttlebutt, is that it's tough to find mental health professionals now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah. Now if we've got this additional need for those people, is it a transfer from the existing staff at DHHS to accommodate this? Is this the city of Arcata having to buy positions for this specific location and either poaching from the existing or bringing somebody else in or having those with under 5 years experience coming on board? How's the staffing on this thing going to happen once all the nails are set and the drywall has been painted?
Yeah, you're going to see all of those things. I mean, I would love to say that we're all of a sudden going to attract 100 new mental health professionals in this region, but that's really pretty unrealistic. The county just did a request for proposals for other nonprofit agencies that have expertise in this area, operating shelters, operating safe car camping areas, operating, you know, sort of modular, just detached bedrooms, or, you know, sometimes you see them as tough sheds or
kind of like
villages.
Betty's
called
Betty Chen's,
yeah, like
example.
Betty Chen's place.
Yeah.
You know, so they did a big request for proposals to see, are there other groups, and they did get a couple of groups outside of the area, one in particular in Mendocino County that might be interested in trying to expand services here. So we might be able to get some new influx of professional and support and training even from, you know, even outside the county. The city is looking at, so the council just looked at how are we going to spend our federal stimulus dollars. And one of the ways that the city here in Arcata committed to spending those dollars was to continue to fund our, at least our two, and try to expand to three, what we call MIST program workers. So these are mental health clinicians that are working side by side with our police officers on a daily basis. And we had COVID funds to do that for this 1 year, but that funding would have run out. And so we're looking at using that stimulus fund to fund three more years of those mental health clinicians that are doing street outreach with our police officers. So I think it is going to take all of us to try to step up and fill those gaps. Arcata House Partnership is working like every single day trying to attract and train and mentor new mental health street outreach and shelter providers. And so they're looking at expanding their services as well. And we're just going to keep trying. I mean, I think the hard thing is that this is the most money we've ever seen from the state in offer to local communities to do real conversions and then have operational dollars with them, which has been such a barrier for us up here, that it's too good of a chance, given the crisis that we're seeing on our streets, to let pass, right? So it's like all hands on deck with the county, with Open Door Clinic, with Arcata House Partnership, and the city to try to figure out a way to staff this program if we can get it off the ground.
So as you're looking at this challenge, this new aspect of it, you'd said 5 years. You know, one of the things I know a lot of folks are really always concerned about is, and it could be a, something as simple as a park. Okay, somebody donates the property, it gets all fixed up, and then you've got the ongoing operational costs. With this being 5 years and then nothing, is that a concern that, you know, at the end of 5 years, all of a sudden, whatever the program is, whatever the success rate is, poof, and then you're in a tough stead? That's a yes or no. I'm getting the indication that's a yes or no.
I would love to say no, it's of no concern, but that would be naive also, right? There is a lot of state and federal operational dollars to support sheltering.
Good.
But it does mean that we have a program that's successful and that we can show that it, you know, the need is there and the success is there.
KINS, yeah. News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Karen, that you've referenced the size of the governor's largesse to the city of Arcata. Is all of it going to be going towards housing like what you have been describing, or are there going to be some other things that along the lines of the MIST officers that are going to be more beneficial to the general community at large?
Yeah. So we've kind of, don't want to confuse your listeners, we've talked about two things. One is a specific home key grant,
yes,
that the governor has put billions of dollars into. The other is our stimulus funds that have come from, you know, the federal stimulus package. And the city will be receiving close to $4.3 million in those stimulus funds. So the council last week worked on how they would spread those dollars throughout a lot of the community. And they're looking at funding Cooperation Humboldt, who's been doing a lot of outreach and community engagement in the Valley West area for improvements and additional engagement out in that neighborhood.
Is that business development or is that homeless?
It's all residents, and then it is also businesses. So
okay.
We'll work with them. You know, one of the things that has been of interest is to sort of get a Main Street in the Valley West area type,
sure,
of organization going. So have some support associated with that. They've done a lot of work. They've started a group that's been meeting monthly on creating some sort of a community center, a community space, whether it's for classes or health clinics or after-school programs.
Just kind of a gathering place for folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe modeled a little bit off of the Jeffersons, the old Jefferson site in Eureka.
Yeah, okay.
The council also is looking at funding what we're terming a community ambassador program. So this would be individuals that would be starting on kind of the plaza and the downtown area, but could branch out to the Marsh District, to the Valley West District. A lot of communities have used community ambassadors, which is just sort of that extra positive presence in your business areas that can help visitors give directions or give recommendations for places to shop or places to eat. They can help connect people that are in need on the street into services. They can just clean up litter, take off graffiti. They would be providing free escorts if somebody needed, you know, was concerned about going to the transit center and wanted an escort, or wanted an escort from work to their car at the end of the day.
So it's kind of like a non-sworn police officer, social worker, informational kiosk on feet.
Right, exactly. On foot, on bike, in sort of those core business areas. They've also looked at trying to refund several frozen positions that we've had through COVID-19. And then around services for those experiencing homelessness, they are looking at trialing a safe parking area. So we've had a real increase in cars and trucks and vans and campers that have, just turned to staying on the street for their sheltering in those vehicles. And we've had a lot that have sort of accumulated at the community center parking lot. So looking at trying to find an area that, again, would be supported with staff 24 hours a day, would have access to, you know, water and showers and garbage, maybe even a meal every day. And then being able to offer people that are currently staying in some of those areas to move into those sites and then start to kind of reconvert, like, say, the community center parking lot back to its traditional use as we start to increase programming back there. You know, we're starting to see sports coming back. Health sport is picking up. We're starting to talk about when we'll be bringing back senior lunch. So as those activities and the need for that parking lot increase, being able to find an alternative site for those that have been taking shelter there.
Isn't there an anti-camping ordinance? Does that not apply to vehicles?
It is a very challenging landscape around that with the decisions out of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So on public spaces. So
gotcha.
Yes, on our streets, there is still a state law around 72 hours in any one place.
Right.
You can move and move and move, right?
Right, right. And the ones that are out on Samoa Boulevard, next to, it's only going to be there for a very short time, transfer station building.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a transfer station anymore.
I know. It's
it hasn't been for a long time.
I know, but, you know, once you put a label on something, it's tough to rip it off. Is that endemic of what you're seeing in other locations also?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and some of that on Samoa Boulevard is private property, some of it is state property, and then some of it is areas, you know, that we work with some of those individuals.
Yeah, is that going to be in the general area where they're bringing the fiber optics into Arcata? Where does that start to branch out to the old Copeland site? I mean, as long as we're using old references, I'm going to keep it going.
Right. it would come past that. It doesn't turn until I think it gets to K Street or I. So, but it'll come right past Samoa, yeah, all the way into town before it turns up to the old Copeland site.
So they're going to have to dig up through that area anyway.
Well, you know, they're mostly directional drilling. They're, you know,
oh, really?
Underground
okay.
for most of it. Yeah. So, I mean, you can see it. It is being installed along Samoa
yeah.
Boulevard right
it,
now.
It, you know, sitting there and watching, you know, as you're driving yeah. by is probably not the healthiest thing to do. But if you're in the queuing line,
it
doesn't look like you'd
expect
it to be.
No, and they will. I mean, they'll certainly, you know, every couple of blocks, I mean, there will be holes in the ground, you know, and they'll put in service areas. But a large part of that is directional drilling. And while they're in town, the council did capitalize. We are going to run a fiber line from City Hall down to our corporation yard. It's been hard to keep that connectivity over the years. So we are using some of the stimulus funds also to do some broadband and fiber connectivity of city facilities.
Yeah, that would make a ton of sense. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:47. Joining us this morning is Karen Diemer from the City of Arcata. Karen, with all the apartment building and construction that's going on in Arcata, I would think that's got to be keeping your building department together, halfway active, halfway busy. Is that all going along at the pace and as it could be properly handled?
I think the building community would unfortunately tell you it is a much faster pace than we can keep up with, right? So I'll do one call out for any building official applicants that might be in the Humboldt County listening area. we are still
And what's your favorite kind of egg? Poached?
Oh, you're so cruel. No,
yes,
no, no.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But we do need a building official. But that being said, yeah, building is really booming in Arcata, and the new construction is great. But one thing that we have had is a continued concern over one sort of the aging housing stock in Arcata, a lot of it that transitions into long-term rentals. And then a lot of historic illegal units and unpermitted construction that has occurred in Arcata that developed housing, you know, predominantly for students in this region. And so the city council has for a lot of years, but is having very serious discussions, so people should tune in now about implementing a residential rental unit inspection program. So this would be mandatory for any property owner who owns and has a long-term rental that they rent out in Arcata, whether it's in a house or whether it's in an apartment. Each of the rental units in Arcata would be on an inspection process. It could be anywhere from annually to up to 5 years, depending on, you know, how well the first inspection goes. We will never be able to inspect every unit every year in Arcata. So for property owners that are in good standing, that have not had complaints from their rental units, in the last couple of years, they will be able to self-certify for the first few years until we can get to every unit. And then once we inspect a unit once, if it passes with flying colors, they'll be able to self-certify again for a period of 5 years.
So long-term rental, is that, that's not the hotels, obviously, is that, and that wouldn't be the B&Bs also?
It would be B&B. It would include short-stay rental, but it would not include hotels. It would also not include any unit that is already under a governmental inspection program. So if you
would be redundant,
or
yeah.
if you were yeah. in an affordable housing unit that we or you know the state already inspects, so there would be exemptions for those.
But pretty much a lot of the student housing that's off campus, those would be yeah. the ones that would qualify. What about the on-campus ones?
No, it would not extend to stuff owned or operated by the campus.
Okay. I mean, presumably they're not going to let things fall apart, but, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the reporting process now if somebody is a renter? What, and if they have an issue that's not being addressed by the landlord or by the manager of the facility,
renters can call the city anytime, and we do code enforcement every day in Arcata. And, you know, our practice has been to just start with a simple phone call to the property owner or the property manager to say, hey, we ended up inspecting your unit. We talked with your tenant. This is the issue that we're seeing. Here's the actual health and safety code. How quickly do you think you could get out to repair it? Are you already in the process? Where is this at? And that probably cures, you know, at least 75% of them. Then we don't need to go through more formal written code enforcement. But we will, certainly, if we don't get compliance in that realm. But what we're experiencing, and I think, you know, we had 3 new council members come in November that actually did a lot of door-to-door, and they saw what a lot of students live in. And when you land a house in Arcata, you can walk to campus. As a tenant, you're not going to complain, right? Like, you're so excited to be there. The housing market is so tight here that we do find tenants won't complain, even if they're out of heat for 3 or 4 months in the winter, or, you know, they won't call. So I think this is intended to try to be more proactive so that the entire burden is not on the tenant that is already feeling really vulnerable in their housing situation.
Yeah, I would think that no heat or you know, the leaky roof or whatever, those types of things, you'd like to think that the landlord would take care of that kind of situation, but you know that there's a bunch of them that just, you know, they see it as a profit center and that's it, and they long-term means next month, not next decade.
Yeah. Right. And we have a lot of wonderful landlords in this town as well. And I know that this can feel sort of penalizing for those landlords that have done a really good job, especially as we come out of COVID. So many of our landlords have worked with their tenants to get through COVID. But at the same time, like, we can't just we have a system that right now just addresses those that call, right? So we're going to, if we want to have a better housing stock and if we want to get out of, you know, sort of what we're seeing is a growing substandard rental market here in Arcata, we're going to have to come up with a little bit more of a proactive program. So we've tried to create the fees around this program where if you're self-certifying, it's cheaper. You know, the bulk of the cost is borne by when you have an inspection. So an inspection costs $70. If you pass the inspection, we don't come back for several years. If you don't, you'll pay that $70 again every time we have to come back until it's cleaned up, right?
That's
We're trying to bear the cost by
per,
those that are
per unit or per facility?
Per unit, but, you know, when we get into large multifamily complexes, we just do a sampling.
Fair enough, fair enough. All righty, lady, have a great week, okay?
Thanks, you too. Happy Monday, everyone.
Appreciate the time. See everybody tomorrow.